Now therefore, beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Now, Moses was off the scene, and Joshua was off the scene. He had died, and they had really had no leader, the children of Israel. And the scripture tells us in Judges that when they had no king, they did that which was right in their own eyes. But God has never forsaken his people, and he never will. And even in the time of the judges, before the kings, God raised up men that he used to help defend Israel from their enemies. Because Israel had enemies. Do you have an enemy today? We all have enemies, don't we? Well, God sent an angel to speak to Manoah, and he gave him some instructions and told him about a child that they were about to have, and that he would be a Nazarite unto the Lord. A Nazarite was someone that was consecrated to God by a vow. He was to avoid drinking wine, cutting the hair, and being defiled by the presence of a court. So that's what God sent to this couple. And of course, we know the young man to be named Samson, don't we? Samson. He was a judge of Israel. He judged Israel for 20 years. He was an unruly man. He really didn't have any control over his spirit. He saw something and desired it, and he wanted it, and he's going to have it. That was Samson. He told his father when he had gone down and saw a woman among the Philistines, and he told his father, "I want her, go get her." Back in those days, the parents contracted together, set up the marriage and all those kind of things. So his father entreated him to, "Why can't you find one among us?" "No, I want her." Well, it's almost difficult sometimes for us to comprehend that God could use such an unruly person to judge his people, but he did. Man, when he fell away from God, man was made perfect before he fell away from God. I need to say it that way. He was made in the image of God. He was made in the perfection of God. But when sin came along, then man, it destroyed all of that. And man fell away from God, and sin began to take control, and sin was in Samson. The nature that he inherited from Adam to cause him to want to go out and do things that he shouldn't have done, he had that nature, and at that time, he couldn't do anything about it. At that time, there was nothing given for him to be able to control that nature. So I want you to understand that. I want you to understand that God was using this unruly man. That's all he knew. That's all he understood. That's all he had. He didn't have real control over his own spirit like you and I should have today. But I want us to notice some things. In verse 24... and 25. Well, and the woman bare a son, called his name Samson, and the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan, between Zorah and Eshtol. Now, go to the 14th chapter, in verse 5. Then went Samson down with his father and his father and his mother to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him. The Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid. And he had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father or his mother what he had done. Now, what I want you to notice there is that when something, an enemy came at him, the lion only has one purpose or one desire, an intent, and that's to kill. And when a lion come at him, the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. See, there was some extra special power that he had. There was some extra special authority that he had, and it came from God. It didn't come from man. But God was going to use this man, and this man was a Nazarite unto God. And of course we know the story how that his hair grew and his long hair was long and that's where his strength was and all those kind of things. But I want us to look at another verse in the 19th verse of this chapter. It says, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he went down to Ascalon and slew 30 men of them and took their spoil and gave charge of change of garments unto them which expounded the riddle. The Spirit of the Lord came upon one man. I have a feeling that if any of us, just one of us, was in a group of amongst 30 men, I don't think we would be very successful in taking them down. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And I want to impress this in your mind right now, that when the Spirit of God comes upon a man, that there's something different about him, something special about him, because God's intention is for him to prevail over his enemies. God wants you and I to prevail too, doesn't he? Chapter 15. I just want you to see how God worked with them back then. In the 15th chapter and the 14th verse, it says that he was bound and the Philistines shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. And the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire, and his hands loose from off, the bands were loose from off his hands. He was tied up with new rope, he was bound, and no human man had the power or the strength to be able to break those bounds. But the difference was, is when the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Well, I point that out to us this morning. The 15th chapter now. And it says here, and I want you to see here, that in the 20th verse, he judged Israel in the days of the Philistines for 20 years. This man, he was quite a character. But God took care of him. And God used him to deliver his people. Now I want us to go back to the third chapter. Samson is not the only one. The third chapter of Judges, in the 9th and the 10th verse, and when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised up a deliverer to the children of Israel, who delivered them, even Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel, and went out to war, and the Lord delivered the king of Mesopotamia into his hand, and his hand prevailed against the king. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him. You and I both know today that God is omnipotent. He's all powerful. He's all knowing. He's all understanding. And when God comes upon us, that it changes us. Now, what is it going to do when God dwells within us? We're going to come to that in our little lesson this morning. The 6th chapter of Judges, the 33rd verse. Another man, Gideon. Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel, coming against Israel. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered unto him, after him, and he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, who was also gathered after him, and he sent messengers unto Asher and to Zebulun and unto Naphtali, and they came to meet him. And the story is, he went out with these folks and defeated the enemy that was set against them. God knows, he knew, that when man failed and fell away from God and began to take the nature of Adam within his heart, he was born with the nature of Adam. The Bible says that after that they went out, were put out of the garden, that they began to have children after their own image. And that's the image of a fallen man, isn't it? And so God knew that you and I, as we are born into this world and have the image of the fallen man, he knew you and I were going to need something to control that, to overcome that, to get rid of that nature that was we were born with in this life. So I feel like I've made my point here. There's another one in the 11th chapter about Jephthah, who was one of the judges of Israel. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And so God had men in place to fight for his, to judge Israel and to stand in the gap against the enemies that they were to face. And every time that things got difficult, every time things got hard, the Spirit of the Lord would come upon them and they would have special powers that they never had before. They would have special graces that they never had before, but only when the Spirit of the Lord came upon them. Now I want to move along to Ezekiel, 36th chapter. Some of you know where I'm going here. Ezekiel 36 and 22. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen whither ye went. And I will sanctify my great name. You know, that right there tells me that anything that God would do with any one of us, that we really didn't have a whole lot to do with it. We were just a vessel. But God wants to use each and every one of us to magnify, to glorify His great name. And God will go to every effort. He'll go to every need that He has in order to glorify His name. And He'll use whoever He chooses to do that. And so we don't have any recourse here this morning but to take the humble route and accept humility in our hearts and minds to know that if we're successful at anything that we do, that it's only to glorify God, to lift Him up and magnify His name. Because that is the greatest name given unto men under heaven, that we might be saved. Verse 23, I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. Now we sit in services and we talk about being examples. We talk about letting our light shine. Folks, God is very interested. And you and I, we all have different spheres in the world, different places that we live in. We affect different people. And God is very interested that you and I have something on hand that we can live a life that we could that will exalt Christ and lift Him up. He said if we lift Him up, He would draw all men unto me. God's very interested in that. He doesn't just want to use preachers and teachers and Sunday school teachers. He wants to use each and every one of us to lift up and glorify and magnify His name. And through His wisdom, through His understanding, He has provided a way. He has ordained a way that each and every one of us can have something on hand that when the enemy comes, how did he say that? That I will be sanctified in you before their eyes. We are living among the heathens today. We're living among wicked people today. Folks, it's going to take a special grace from God. The Spirit of the Lord came upon them. It's going to take a special grace from God for you and I to be willing to have courage to be able to stand true and faithful in the midst of the storms, in the midst of the wickedness and the evil that's coming against us today. We want to lift up God, the God that people have profaned His name. And we heard about the name, the honorable name of God. He said, I will take you now. Here's what He said I'm going to do with you. This is Old Testament scripture. I will take you from among the heathen, gather you out of all countries, and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness. The Bible teaches us in the New Testament that we are washed by the regeneration of the Word of God. When the Lord saves us, He cleans us up, and we're cleaned by the washing of the regeneration of the Word of God. Because when we understand what the Word teaches, and we have this Spirit, I better go on here, and from all your idols will I cleanse you, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. Now folks, when He saved me, He put a new spirit there. This spirit, as Paul said it one way, old things pass away and behold all things become new. He put a new spirit. What spirit was that? It was the Spirit of Christ. When I got saved, He gave me His Spirit. And He gave me a desire, a purpose, an intent, a want to, if you will, to want to serve Him, to please Him, to glorify and honor Him. But I still lack something to have the power to do that. A new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I'll give you a heart of flesh. And I'll put my spirit within you. I'll put it within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them, and ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. God's great love this morning. In His great love, He has always desired to have a people. He is always, folks, He would have destroyed this world a long time ago if there weren't men and women that had a heart after Him, a desire to want to live for Him, to please and serve Him with everything within them, with everything that they know and understand. And that's all that we're required of what we know and understand. God's always had a people, wanted a people. I'll be there. They'll be my people, and I'll be their God. And I'm thankful this morning He is our God. And I want to be one of His people. And I want to be faithful at that. But He said, I'll put my Spirit in you. That Spirit will cause you to walk in my statutes, and you'll keep my judgments and do them. It'll cause you to be obedient. It'll cause you to have a desire to do that. That Spirit. Now, what did that Spirit do to these fellows over there in the book of Judges? When the Spirit of the Lord came upon them, it gave them power, didn't it? They was able to overcome their enemies. They were able to conquer. Now, the Lord's telling us here. Ezekiel's telling us here. He said, I'll put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. It's not something that He's going to take a whip and beat us to walk in His statutes. He's going to give us such a desire, such a want to, such a love for His statutes and His judgments. He's going to give us such a love for the truth, a love and desire for things that are holy. The Spirit that He puts within us is going to cause us to walk in those things. And I thank God for that today. I appreciate that. So He's going to clean us. He's going to give us a new heart of flesh. And then He's going to put His Spirit within us. And folks, that spirit that he's talking about is given to us for one thing. For one main thing. And that's to give us power. To give us power to live a holy life right here in this world. That's to give us power right here. Now that's the old dispensation of time. But the prophecy is there for the time that you and I live in today, isn't it? It's given unto us. It was not given to Samson and Jephthah and Gideon and Abraham and Moses. It wasn't given to those people. Abraham was a friend of God, yet he went and he lied. He told a lie to the king and told the king that that was his sister when it was his wife, didn't he? Those fellows back there did a lot of things. There was a lot of fallibility in their lives. David, the king, King David, he had a heart after God's own heart. But folks, he had no control over his spirit. He saw the woman, he wanted her, and he went and got her. Paid for it. But nevertheless, that's the way they lived back in those days. But the Lord said, let me read this again. I don't want to belabor this. I'm going to sanctify, verse 23, my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which you have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. I'm going to do a work in you that the very people that heard you curse, the very people that saw you do the things that they were doing are going to be amazed to see the transformation and the power that you're going to have to be able to live free from that kind of from sin. They're going to be amazed. I'm going to exalt my holy name. Folks, that's what we're here for today, is to exalt the name of Jesus. And to let people know that through the power that He has given us, that we are able to overcome and cast aside all those awful things that we used to do. The worshiping of idols and all those other things that He mentioned here. But He's going to sanctify His great name. How's He going to do that? He's going to use each and every one of you to sanctify His great name. That's what the way God has chosen to do it. Now I want to move down, and I know we have an afternoon service in Columbus today, so I'm going to try to move as quickly as I can, but I want to get this burden out the Lord has given us. I want us to turn to the New Testament now in the book of John, in the 14th chapter. Jesus speaking to us here. In the 15th verse. If you love me, keep my commandments. How do we have love? The love of God, the Bible says, is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, by the Holy Spirit. Folks, when we have the indwelling Spirit within our hearts, we can have a love that will conquer bitterness. It'll conquer hatred. It'll conquer unforgiveness. I've had people tell me about their plight and the things that happened to them and ask me, do I have to forgive them? Folks, a love that is put in our hearts by this Spirit, this indwelling Spirit, that gives us an indwelling love. It's a divine love, isn't it? It's not a love like we have for husband and wives and children and family here, but it's a divine love. And he said, if you love me, how do you say that? Keep my commandments. If you truly love him this morning, it won't be hard to keep his commandments. One writer said his commandments aren't grievous. And I don't find them to be grievous either. Now listen to what Jesus says. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Now let's get that understood right here. The only one that will be able to receive the Spirit of truth is one that has been born again. Only one that will be able to receive this, the Spirit of truth. That, what is it? That's the Holy Spirit, isn't it? In my Bible, Spirit is capitalized here, and it refers to the Holy Spirit. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but you know Him. Why? Because He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Oh, I tell you, folks, I've said this many times in the past years. Saints, here's what I believe. I believe this so strongly, what Jesus is teaching us here. And as I look back upon my own life, and if I've been successful at all, and in any way, shape, or form, it is only because of the power of the Holy Spirit that's been at work in my life. Because Larry doesn't have it. I don't have the ability. Folks, it doesn't mean that we're not going to be tempted. It doesn't mean that we're not going to get in difficulties and that we're going to have to. It doesn't mean that at all. Christ was tempted, but He was faithful. But folks, what it means that when these things come, and they're going to come, they may come before the day's over or tomorrow, but it's going to come, and we're going to face those things that cross self. And those things are going to be difficult for us, and we're going to need something, power, that we can rise above that we can get victory over that and keep right on going. You ever been in a trial? Have you ever been in a temptation in a difficult place? Maybe been in a battle for 2 or 3 weeks? I'll just shorten it here. For 2 or 3 weeks, and yet nobody around you knew that you were going through it. It's possible, folks. It's possible. We've done that. We've been there. Many of us have. Going through those hard and difficult places, and nobody around us, not even husband or wife, even know that we're going through it. Why? Because there's something indwelling here. He dwelleth with you. Not just with you, but He said, shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. He said here that He may give you another comforter. Now right here I want to insert something in our minds, in our thoughts here. God is the one, He's the giver of life and breath and all things. God is the Father. He sent His Son to the world, Jesus Christ, to be a Savior. Jesus is our Savior, and He's our intercessor today. He's the one that God is going to, when the time comes for God to call this thing to judgment, all the enemies of Christ will be put under His feet. And He will be the conqueror, the King of kings, and the Lord of lords once and for all, as far as time is concerned. But He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords in my heart this morning. He's the conqueror in my heart this morning. But He said here, I'm going to send you another comforter. Now wait a minute. He recognized that they had the Spirit of Christ. But there's another comforter. So the Godhead is made up of who? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Folks, let me tell you something this morning. The comforter, the Holy Spirit, has just as much to do with your and I's success as God the Father and God the Son. He has just as much to do with you and I being able to conquer, being able to have power over self, because let me tell you this morning that yourself is the biggest enemy you have. It's the one that we've got to work on and bring under and conquer, and it's going to take the Holy Spirit of God dwelling within you to be able to do that. I know what I'm talking about. I know from experience it's going to take the Holy Spirit. Folks, people that try to live without the Holy Spirit, I've seen it time and time again, without the indwelling Spirit in the time that we're living in against the enemy that we're facing today, they won't make it very long without that power to help them to conquer the foes, the battles. that are raging all around us. You won't make it. There's a lot of types and shadows in the Old Testament, folks. The temple, the holy place, the holy of holies. We have Elisha following Elijah. When Elijah was going up, he said, "Ask whatever you ask of me, we'll give it to you." He said, "I want a double portion." What is that double portion, folks? That's the Spirit. I want a greater portion of your Spirit. You see, Elijah, he ran from Jezebel. He hid in caves. You don't ever see Elisha doing anything like that. Elisha never failed. He was always strong, always conquered his enemy because he asked for a double portion. God has given you and I a double portion today through the Comforter. Through the Comforter. He'll dwell with you, but not just with you, folks. He'll be in you. He'll be in you. He will empower you. I'll say a little bit more about that just a little bit later. A comforter is an advocate for aid in the time of trouble. That's what a comforter is. He gives me aid. Whether I'm grieving, whether I'm suffering, whether I'm in a battle, the comforter is an advocate that comes and gives me aid, strengthened, just like it did Samson. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. When the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, folks, he was able to do a lot of mighty things. But it took the Spirit of the Lord to do it. It took the Spirit of the Lord to do it. And he's able to give you and I the Comforter that will give us aid. He's our advocate. And he said his Spirit shall be in us. Let's turn to the 16th chapter. Time's getting away from me. The 16th chapter of John, in verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. You know, I can't, for my part, I don't need Jesus to say I'll tell you the truth, because I know that's all he was truth. But he was talking to a bunch of unbelievers. He was talking to Pharisees. And he was talking to the early disciples. And they hadn't had a lot of experience yet. Do you believe the disciples were saved? I do. I believe they were saved. If they hadn't been saved on the day of Pentecost, they could have never received the Holy Ghost. I just read that, didn't I? The world can't receive it. So the disciples were a saved bunch. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient. That means it's absolutely necessary for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. It's necessary, folks, to take my salvation one more little step further. Christ had to leave in order to send the aid, the Comforter. Christ had to leave, and that's what he said here. He said, it's expedient that I go away, that I would send the Comforter. The next part of the Godhead. Folks, we need all three this morning. We need every one of them. Christ put His Spirit in us and prepared us for this time when we can be filled by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Without Christ, that cannot happen. It cannot happen. And we cannot have it, and it won't happen unless the Comforter comes. Unless the Holy Spirit comes. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. And if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Reprove here, if I could give you a different word for that, is convict. They will convict. He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye shall see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Jesus basically, to me, is saying here that if I go away, I'm going to send someone that will cause you. Remember that he used that word cause over there in Ezekiel? I will cause you to walk in my statutes and my judgment. Jesus is telling us, I'm going to send someone here to you that will cause you to see the workings of God. To see and understand how God works. Folks, discernment. Discernment, discernment, discernment. For years and years and years, Lord help us. Folks, the message that I have endeavored to preach to the saints, to the church of God, have some discernment, and you can't have it without the Holy Spirit. If you read the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, you'll find that discernment is one of the gifts that's in the body, and it's given by the Holy Spirit. And that's why Jesus said, it's so necessary that I go away. You are going to be living in evil times. You're going to be living in wicked times. Folks, the enemy doesn't pull back. He doesn't hold back. He is full force in endeavoring to destroy every one of us. And you can't do it on your own. I don't care how saved you are. We need something greater. And God knew that, didn't He? God knew it. And Jesus knew it, and that's why He said it was necessary that we would be able to have understanding of the workings of God. The Spirit that we're talking about this morning is the third person of the Godhead. But He's equal with the Father and the Son. But He's separate in person and in duties. I have been a staunch believer over the years. Had people tell me, I've had phone calls, you need to go talk to someone, you need to straighten this one out, straighten that. I don't do those things. That's not what Paul told me to do. He told me to preach the Word and be instant in season. I'm not here to straighten no one out. I had one fellow call me one time from a congregation somewhere away, and he said, someone, you know about this, what's going on here, and you need to come straighten them out. And I told him, I think you got the wrong number. You got the wrong number, folks. But I'll tell you whose job it is. It's the Spirit's job. He will reprove or convict of sin. He will convict of righteousness. And He will convict of judgment. It's the Spirit. It's His office work. It's the Spirit's job. If you're saved and you're sanctified, He will teach you. He will bring you to the unity of the faith. He will give you the understanding that God wants you to have. He will bring us together that we can work together and that we can have power with God. The Holy Spirit is what is going to do that when He is dwelling within us. I thank God for it tonight or today. I appreciate the Holy Spirit. You know, when I was thinking about this, being filled, I want to read you Ephesians, the 3rd chapter and the 19th verse. Paul said, to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. All the fullness. I remember, been almost 30 years ago now, when I was a young fella, young man, I was saved and I was sanctified and was living for the Lord. Had a good experience. Folks, let me tell you, you can lose it. You can be sanctified and lose it. You can lose the power. If you want to be careless with it and you're not diligent in your consecration to the Lord, you can lose it. You can lose it. But anyway, when the Lord saved me the last time down in Louisiana, I came back to our old chapel there in Tyron. 2 weeks later, Brother Curtis Williams, Sister Katrina's grandfather, came and he preached a message on sanctification. It wasn't opened up to me like what I feel like the Lord has opened it up to me this morning. But nevertheless, he preached a message on sanctification. I stood there so confused. What do I do? I know I need it. But isn't it a little soon? I mean, I've only been saved 2 weeks this time. So anyway, I went to the altar. And he met me there. And I said, Brother Williams, I don't know if I should be here or not. I said, I've only been saved 2 weeks. He said, Brother Larry, I knew you as a young man. And I knew the experience that you had, and I know what you have understanding of. He said, once you understand it, and the Lord's showing you you need it, that's the time to do it. Folks, I never had to go back. I've been back to the altar. Oh, don't get me wrong there. But folks, I sought for that. The Lord gave me that. I didn't have to go back to get it again. Let me tell you something, how I perceive the Holy Spirit this morning. The Holy Spirit, when He comes and indwells within my heart and takes residence there and begins to give me power, it does not mean that tomorrow I've got all power and I've got all understanding and I'm able to conquer the world. It does not mean that at all. It means that I've got some power now to do some conquering. And the Lord, in His wisdom and in His judgment and in His understanding, will know what to send me, the kind of trials and the battles that I'm going to face in order for me to get the victory over those things. Think about it. When the children of Israel went into the Canaan land, there's another example in the Old Testament. And they begin to fight. That was the promised land. Folks, I'm talking about the promised land this morning. Be filled with all the fullness of God. He wants us to have all of it this morning. He don't want us to just have part of it. He wants us to have all of Him, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit working and dwelling within us. He wants us to have it all. He wants us to be successful. Isn't that wonderful? My Master, my Lord, my Savior, He wants me to be successful. And He gave us something that we can be successful with. And I'm thankful for that today. I thank God for His Spirit filled with all of His fullness. Oh, I've wondered about that verse many times, Brother Thomas. To be filled with some of God, you know, that's wonderful. To be filled with a little more of God, that's wonderful too. But to be filled with all the Spirit, you know, I've prayed this way many times and I will still pray this way. You may not agree with it, but Father, but Lord, I want a greater measure of Your Spirit in a greater way. I want it to be greater manifested in my life, that I can have power with You, that I can conquer the foes, the enemy, that I can pray for the sick, that we can cast out devils. Folks, that's what He's here for. To empower His people. And I believe, as the song says, He shall ever increase in my soul. And that's what I'm asking God to do for me. Ever increase in my soul. I don't know it all. I don't understand it all. I don't have all power. But God has all power in heaven and earth. And He's the one I want to get to know. He's the one I want to get next to. He's the one I want to tap into. I want to tap into some of that power, don't you? Oh, I thank the Lord for the Spirit. Let's look. Let's go to Acts now. I'll try not to be up here a whole lot longer. Folks, this is rich to me. This is rich. This is God revealing Himself to us this morning. It's rich. God showing us Himself, showing us what He wants to do and what He can do and what He prophesied that He would do for each and every one of us. Not just the preachers, but every one of us. We all have that right, don't we? We all have that privilege to enter into the Holy of Holies where Christ dwells. We all have that this morning. Thank the Lord. Let's look in the book of Acts, the first chapter. Fourth verse. Being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith He, ye have heard of Me. And I won't turn over, but in Luke, the 24th chapter, in the 19th or 49th verse, He told them to tarry in Jerusalem. Wait. Wait right there in Jerusalem. Don't go out and start. You know, He gave them a commission to go out into all the world. But He said, wait. You need something before you go out into all the world and preach the gospel. You need something before you go out and face the devils. You need something before you go out and face the heathens. You need something before you can go out and face the naysayers. Folks, you need courage. You need strength. You need wisdom. You need understanding. Folks, let me tell you something. A preacher can't preach without being filled with the Holy Spirit. Not a real preacher. Not a man of God. Folks, we go out and we face spirits sometimes that come right in our faces. Spirits that will try to destroy us. I know, I've been there. And they'll try to kill you right in the service. We face things and we need some power. And I don't have it. But I'm tapped into the one that does. I know the one that does, folks. And I entreat you, if you don't have that power, if you don't know what I'm talking about or understand what I'm talking about, He's got it for you. No good thing will He withhold from those that walk uprightly. He won't withhold it from any of us if we desire it. So He told them to tarry and wait there in Jerusalem. And He said here, "For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." Now let me define something here. Baptism. Baptism is a type of purification. It's a type of cleansing. When we get saved and we come up here and we want to be baptized, we're telling the world, we're making a testimony. We're taking a stand for God. And we're making a testimony to the world that I've given up the world and I'm following Christ now. And this is my testimony. Folks, He said here that you'll be baptized, John baptized with the water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And I say to you this morning, folks, that when you get the Holy Spirit, it's a twofold work in your heart and life. He will not only baptize you, purify you. That's the burning and the cleansing and the purging of the old Adam nature. I've heard ministers say in the past that when you get sanctified, you're dead. Folks, I want to tell you something. I'm sanctified this morning. You stick a needle or a pin in me and it's going to hurt and you're going to know it. This old body we live in a corruptible body. We'll lay it down one of these days and put on incorruption. But God does not save and sanctify the body, does He? He saves and sanctifies the soul. Preparing that soul for an eternal glory. He does that so He can work through this vile body that we have. But yet we are purified. And we are to, this body is the temple of God and we're to take care of it and we're to keep it clean. And I'm getting off track here. But He said, you'll be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And then He said, when they therefore were come together, they asked of Him, saying, "Lord, wilt Thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?" And He said unto them, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in His own power." Folks, there are things that God takes full authority over. He has full authority in those things. Some people like to ask a lot of questions. I want to ask God this. I want to ask Peter that. I want to ask... Folks, God has authority. It belongs to Him. There's some things that He doesn't reveal to us and show us because in His wisdom He knows we don't need to know. We need to just trust God. We need to accept Him, don't we? And just believe His Word, just as His Word says. So He went on to say, "But you," verse 8, "you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you and be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea." I want to tell you, folks, we're going to take it from the preacher here. You're going to face some things. You're going to face some difficult things. You're going to face people that are going to challenge you. They're going to challenge the truth. The truth's being challenged everywhere. His brother, dear brother Donald, our pastor that was before me, he said, we may not have a lot of quantity of people, but we've got some quality. And I thank God for the quality that we have here in this place. God's looking for quality, folks. If you and I are going to be successful, this is what it's going to take. This is what it's going to take, what I've been up here talking about this morning. When you go out and are witnesses for me, you're going to need some power. God knew it. And God provided for it. And I'm so thankful for it. These were the men that were going to soon concern themselves with world evangelism. To go out and take this gospel to a lost and a dying world. And Paul came along, one they said that it was born out of due season. He came along and God gave him the discipleship of going out and taking it to the Gentile, to the heathen world. Do you think that Paul was just a man like you and I? He was just like us. But folks, do you think he could go out and face the things that he faced? The challenges, the things that come against the spirits that were in those people that came against. You think he could face it without power? Not a chance. Not a chance, folks. And God knew it. I'm thankful. We have a discipleship this morning, every one of us. We're called to be disciples. We're ambassadors of God. Lord, help us to be faithful to do that. The Great Commission that we read about in Matthew, it still applies. It still applies. We got folks here that have a burden for other countries, other people, other places. It still applies. Wherever God sends, He will provide and He will bless and work. When the Lord told the disciples to tarry in Jerusalem until they would be endued with power of on high, to me this implies that God, that this is a very central part of God's eternal will for each and every one of us. This is the heart of God this morning. A central part of His will that you and I be endued with power from on high. Okay, Acts 2nd chapter. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. And it set upon each of them. And they were all filled. It didn't say that the Spirit of the Lord came upon them. On the day of Pentecost, when the church was established, the people that were saved were filled. Filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They begin to speak in a way. There were people there from all different nations and countries. And they got up and they spoke and they taught and they understood them in their language. Can man do that? No. Can the Holy Spirit do that? Yes. And He did on the day of Pentecost. Now let's look at something here in our minds. Before Pentecost, the Spirit's work had been from without. It came upon them. It was temporary, wasn't it? It was temporary. Samson didn't have that power all the time. He went out and messed up multiple times after the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. He didn't live a consistent life. I believe that God has ordained for you and I to live a consistent life of holiness. So, before Pentecost, the Spirit came down from without. And it was temporary. And it was exceptional, if I can say it that way. There was some big demonstration of the Spirit. But look at us today, after Pentecost. The Spirit's work is from within. Not from without. The Spirit's work is from within because He indwells within us. The Spirit's work is permanent, not temporary. It isn't something that I got to go back for again next week. Once He comes in and our faith takes it in, folks, and He comes and indwells within us, it's a permanent work that He does with every one of us, not temporary. And when He comes in and begins to work in your life, it becomes the norm. It's nothing great exceptional. I've had people say, well, you know, I don't feel any different. Folks, He comes in and He brings the peace and the joy and the power and the love in a greater measure and in a greater way when He comes into our hearts and lives. It is exceptional, but it's permanent, and it becomes the norm in our life. People say, how do you get the Holy Spirit? The same faith that it took for you to believe and be saved. Through that same faith of believing and understanding God's Word, you can get the power of the Holy Spirit working in your life. It takes faith. It isn't anything I can give. It isn't anything anyone in here can give except God Himself. But He chooses to indwell. So the old covenant work with Israel was external, but under the New Testament dispensation, it is internal, isn't it? It is from within. God has designed it to be so. Ephesians 5 and 18, I will read it to you. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. He didn't mince any words there, folks. It's very plain for us to understand. Be filled. Paul was not talking to the heathen there. He was not talking to the unregenerated. He was talking to the church at Ephesus. Those that had a claim on salvation, that they were saved and living for the Lord. He said, be filled with the Spirit. There's still something that you need to do, and that's be filled with the Spirit of God. Why do you need the Holy Spirit, folks? There's so many reasons why. But I want to tell you one thing He does for me. He's a governor. He puts a governor on my life. He holds me back when I need to be held back. And He pushes me forward when I don't feel like I want to go forward. He's a governor. He's the one that I give full control over to. I give it to the Comforter. I give it to the one with all understanding and all wisdom. The one that His office work is to work in me and improve me and improve my life and my salvation in the sight of God, that I might have power to live a holy life. I still believe that you can live a holy life. I still believe that. The Bible still teaches it. It hasn't changed. I know that not everyone that has accepted the Lord has experienced the Holy Spirit. I know that. And you know, it's those of us that have experience that's been in the way for a while, we can recognize that. When you go to camp meetings, time and again, same ones going back, isn't it? Seems like a lot of times the same ones going back. And then when I go down to pray with them, I say, well, how is it? Well, Brother Larry, you know, I've been so busy doing this. The first thing I ask them is, how's your prayer life? Well, every time. I don't think I've ever had it fail. I've gotten so busy doing this and busy. I have not been diligent in prayer. How important is it to you How important is it to you? You know, Brother Clint brought a message here a couple weeks ago, getting back to the basics. You know, once I receive something so precious as the Spirit of Christ and the Spirit of the Holy Spirit working and dwelling within me, folks, now it's time for me to guard it with everything I got. It's time for me to take time to pray, take time to read, take time to meditate. It's time for me to draw close to God. He said, if you'll draw nigh to God, then you can resist the devil because he'll draw nigh to you. That's how it works, folks. That's the basics. That's the basics. But it's the same ones when they're going back because you know why? They don't have power. They don't have power to stay safe when the temptations come. Oh, that temptation was just so strong. And I just couldn't help but give in to it. Lord, help us today. That's what the Holy Spirit has been given to us for. Does it mean that we're not going to fail? No, it does not. But I want to tell you from my own personal experience, and there's others here that will testify to the same thing, you'll have greater grace and greater power to stand, even in those times. What is integrity anyway? Integrity went out a long time ago in this country, in this world. People don't have integrity anymore. Integrity is that I do what I'm supposed to be doing even when no one else is looking. Even when no one else is around, I do what I'm supposed to do. And I can only do that. I'll just tell you, I can only do that because of the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit. We need that. We need it desperately today. You want to see a church move forward? You want to see God send the power down? You want to see Him give divine physical healings? You want to see Him deliver your children? I do. Do you want to see Him work in a greater way among us, folks? Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Because it's His power, not ours. We can come here and worship in this worship service, folks. And we can sit here and sing and pray and even preach the Word. And every bit of it will be dead and will not edify us one bit without the Holy Spirit. You want His anointing and approval on your life? It comes through the Holy Spirit. I remember years ago the Lord gave me a message on anointing. And oh, you talk about someone that was a little scared there. I said, Lord, I said, now, I'm going to preach on anointing. I sure hope you anoint it. We need God, folks. You think a minister gets up here depending on himself? No. Without me, you can't do anything. And what did he say I would do? In order to lift up my holy name that you profaned, in order to exalt my name in this world, I'm going to do something for you. I'm going to make a transformation in your life and change you to be a vessel. That you can go forth and lift up my name to a lost and a dying world. Yes. Folks, it isn't about me and it isn't about you. I've said it before and I'll say it again. It's about a blood-soaked Savior. A blood-soaked Savior that hung on a cross and gave His life. Became the sacrifice that you and I could enjoy. Folks, this is wonderful. This blessing is wonderful this morning. Just talking about it. The Lord is blessing me this morning. I feel so close to God. I feel Him so close to me because this is right to the center of God's heart. That His people be filled with the Spirit. That way I have God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit working and dwelling within me. All working together. That I might be successful. I need to be successful, but only to lift up the name of Jesus and only to exalt God. Pray for me that I'll be faithful. I trust that you got a blessing. I trust you understand what I was trying to talk about this morning. But I believe the Scriptures are clear. And I believe it's the desire of God's heart for every one of us. To have all of Him, to be filled with all the fullness of God. Amen.